Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." And after they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And when they'd gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Epiphany is not a word that appears in the Bible. Epiphany. But it's something in a church calendar. If you look at your church calendar, if you've got a diary with those sort of things in. But it means showing forth a revelation. And it's tied in with the visit of the Magi, the wise men, that they saw for themselves. They came to that place, having travelled so far to see the child, the Christ child, there in Bethlehem. What a journey it was. And sometimes it's quite difficult. I read again Matthew chapter 2 to you this evening. But if you're not careful, when you hear the words begin, your mind runs away from the passage. And you start seeing the scenes that you've seen over the years of those, you know, ornately dressed men with camels. And always three, because there's three gifts. Coming from the east, it's, you know, but how far east? There's so many questions. It's so frustrating. What exactly happened? And when did it happen? And does it matter? Well, it does matter in that people came a long way to see the Christ child. He is the King of Israel, the King of the Jews, but he's more than that. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so to have a people traveling, you know, beyond the boundaries, as it were, coming in, and especially when you consider how they were guided to such a place, it really is a revelation. It does indeed show forth God's incredible plan of salvation. And it's also very helpful, though, as I say, I'm not suggesting for a moment this happened 2 weeks after the birth. Jesus is referred to as a child here. He's not in a manger, he's not in a stable, he's in a house, a home. And it doesn't even mention that Joseph's there. Is he working? It's mentioned that he takes them on to Egypt afterwards. So things have moved on from what we've celebrated at Christmas to what we read here. So it's, you know, that tableau scene of nativity is wrong in so many ways. But having said that, It is good at this time of year just to reflect upon this passage, Matthew chapter 2. And particularly as we go into 2020, a new decade. Because like those wise men of old, we need light. We need guiding. We need a clear vision of the path the Lord wants for his people to walk. And so it ties in very well. It takes us well into the year. So we don't always keep the church calendar in every way, but on this one, I think it has some merits. Now, you've just sung We Three Kings. Three wise men, three magi. Well, no. I reckon there probably were more. If you were travelling with gold, you would need some people to defend what you were travelling with. I'm sure there were servants as well, if these people were quite well-to-do. So there may have been quite an entourage of people moving westward following the star. But, and sometimes when we sing a carol like We Three Kings, it just seems so distant, so far from us. You know, little me and you in Rochford tonight. But actually, when you think of those magi, I'll call them, for that's what's in the text. Riches and resources, we have them, don't we? Compared to most on planet Earth, we are a rich people in Rochford. Rulers, well, we have democracy of sorts, freedom to choose and make decisions. Many again in our world do not have such luxury, such a blessing. And as for restrictions, well, yes, we have restrictions because we don't have all the answers. However long we've walked with the Lord, we don't have all the answers. Yet we are seeking the Lord and seeking his wisdom. And I hope tonight that's how we've come. We've come this evening not with our fixed, you know, everything in its place, I's dotted, T's crossed, but saying, Lord, there are so many things I don't understand, and I'm having to trust you and depend upon you in all these things. And sometimes the Lord actually just takes us through these things just to highlight our need to depend upon him in all that we do. Are you a wise man? Are you a wise woman this evening? How prepared are you for the year ahead? Wisdom in Scripture often is to do with being prepared. Go to the ant, you sluggard. You know, go and check out. Make sure you're prepared. Make sure you're aware of what you will need. Well, tonight, if you know you need the Lord, and you need him so badly in every situation, then I would suggest to you, you are on the path to wisdom. You are a wise man, a wise woman. In the passage we read from Matthew chapter 2, they are setting out on a journey into the unknown. They're following a star. The star has arisen. They have plotted it. They have noted it. They are following it. But to where? Well, as was mentioned this morning, and you'll hear a lot of it in the next few weeks and months, I'm sure, of this year, 2020. It is a description of optical clarity, ironically, because, as I say, so often we just don't see. Things are so unknown. How will things work out this year? How will things be in our world, in our society? Even amongst us, we don't know. We take a day at a time walking with the Lord. And it's as though the star, the little star, if I can put it that way, is moving. And we have some light, of course, but we are moving on. We don't have any choice. We're going forward into a new year. But we do journey with, not just into the unknown, but with the known. Because the wise men, having come to Jerusalem, are then given prophetic understanding. They're given those words from Micah. They're given scripture. And that can be trusted. That can be depended upon. So they've gone from this light moving in the skies to now having something much more fixed, something much more definite and permanent. The light of God's word upon the path that they take. In effect, the words of the prophets have marked out the runway for what is to take place. And so they can be reassured that they're heading in the right direction. Well, I want us just to take a closer examination of the wise men and the path that they took and what that path reveals. And I want to relate it, as I say, to you and I, individually and together as church, going forward into this new year. For surely as we walk together, there will be encouragements on the journey. Let's start there. Because in verse 9 and 10, we read how the wise men saw the star again. In the providence of God, God had worked, putting the star in place, moving the star in the heavens. They went to Jerusalem. That was logically their thinking. King of the Jews, this star is about. Jerusalem is the capital. Let's go there. You can understand that. But of course, it wasn't the right place. But they were aided in their search by those who'd studied the scriptures. They were led to those who knew more, who should have known more, should have been more aware than they were. You know, God can work through mistakes, can't he? Yeah, he can overrule. God of the second chance, God of the hundredth chance. There are so many examples in scripture. Think of Joseph with his brothers in the Old Testament as a classic example. You meant it for evil, but God has meant this for good. Bringing something out that seemingly looks disastrous, yet God overruled. The providence of God and the provision of God. The star appeared and they were overjoyed. Because they knew they were getting closer. That's what that's about, isn't it? They knew what had been distant revelation was now becoming distinct revelation, specific to where they were and about what they were about to see. How does the Lord guide you? How do you know what the Lord is saying to you in your situation? Sometimes, like the wise men, we think we know best. We think Jerusalem, that's the place to be. It's got to be. And not with any, you know, it wasn't a selfish decision. It wasn't, oh, Jerusalem's nice at this time of year. They just logically had tried to work it through, and that's the conclusion they'd come to. And sometimes we can work a little bit like that. And God has given us our minds, of course. We don't switch them off or leave them in the vestibule on the way in. We are to think things through. But we need more than just logical thinking. We need our hearts to be made new, hearts to be transformed. We need the provision of God. We need the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, personal Saviour. His Holy Spirit within us to be our guide. The Scriptures. Remember when we did the Alpha course? I think we had about seven different things, as I recall, when we talked about guidance. And there are things, circumstances and situations that God uses. That's part of it. And with the wise men, you see, yes, the star, and then the scriptures, the words of the prophets, to guide them through to Jesus. And very interestingly, after they have worshipped, and we'll come back to this in a moment, a little bit out of turn, but it does fit here, then they have a dream. They have direct revelation once they've been and seen Jesus. It becomes much more clear to them the way that they are to go. In some ways, that mirrors the Christian life, doesn't it? You might start the Christian life with a little flickering light of the Lord. You know, maybe you see a Christian at work or in your family and you begin to wonder, is there something to this? And it flickers and it flickers. And then there's something a bit brighter, you know, as it becomes personal to yourself, and then ultimately you worship, you kneel down, you give your all to the Lord, and then you're in relationship with God through faith in Christ, and he's speaking into your life, revealing the way to go. It's a fascinating way. There are encouragements on the journey, and we trust this year as we go on together and individually, you'll know the encouragements of the Lord. See him at work in the big things. The stars are his handiwork too. But see him too close up in your personal lives and situations. God moves in mysterious ways, through his providences, through his provision. Always in line with his revealed plans and purposes. You must have noted that as I read through chapter 2 of Matthew. You know, this happened to fulfill this. This happened to fulfill that. Matthew underlining again and again the steps and the stages of God's unfolding plan of salvation. Encouragements on the journey. Encounters on the journey. Beyond the star, what exactly did these wise men see? You know, if you could put yourself in the eyes of the wise men, turn your head around and look and see what you are looking at. What do you see? They spent so much time looking up at the heavens, but now looking down in Bethlehem, a small town, well, they saw a house. Jesus no longer in the manger, he's now a child, and the wise men come to a humble home, not a palace, a humble home. Faith was still required as they entered in to find the one they'd sought for so long. And there they worshipped. They worshipped together. And almost, this is almost a picture of the first church. Controversial. But church life together, because there is Christ at the center. And there are the people, the wise men, Mary, worshipping, all focused in on Jesus. Look around. What else is there? Well, as I say, it's a strange sight, but these people from eastern lands bowing down and worshipping. They'd look for the King of the Jews, and here they are worshipping. A powerful king, that's what they thought. But here's a child, a small infant. But he is described there in Micah as the perfect ruler. A king, yes, should be revered. That's how nations worked with nations. But here they worship. Here they give their all. You know, as we worship the Lord together this year, I trust that our devotion will be deepened. That we won't get to a point where we're just going through the motions. It's just Sunday. Oh, it's Sunday evening. Oh, it's Sunday morning. We want to worship. We want to worship with all that we are to give the Lord who we are, what we are, what we have. And of course, not just on Sunday, but in the week, through the week as well. To worship him with deeper devotion. Seeing more of his grace in our lives and being more mindful of his glory. Being more aware who he is. For these wise men looked upon him and worshipped. And of course they gave their gifts, which obviously leads to all these songs about the three of them, because of the three gifts, as we've said. But if there were more, and I think that's very likely, these resources were shared and given. The gifts, as I say, have led us to think each one brought a gift, but it doesn't say that. The gifts may well have been shared, and the entourage may have had many of with those gifts. But each gift, of course, was significant. We know the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh, the life, and as we sang in the carol, you know, the person of our Saviour and what he would go through for us. King and God and sacrifice. But because there may have been more and the gifts were few, it was a shared experience. And as we worship, as we give, yes, we give of ourselves, but we give together. We work together. So that the Lord can use all that we give and fulfill. The Father can fulfill the purposes with which he's blessed us with. Resources, great or small, but corporately shared together. On their journey, the Magi encountered the ordinary, a humble home, and then the extraordinary, as they gave their all in worship, giving themselves and their gifts. From the beginning of this year, that should be how we plan the journey for 2020. To give our best, to give our all, and to share together in worship and in service of the King. Encouragements and encounters on the journey. And experiences too. Difficult experiences. David was talking this morning of the valleys and the mountaintops along the way. Again, we don't know how far east they came from, but I should imagine it wasn't flat. It certainly wouldn't be flat all the way. There would be ups and downs along the way. And even when they've given their devotion, even when they've presented their gifts, does life get easy for the Magi from that point onwards? Answer, no. Life would never be the same again after spending time with Jesus. They had worshipped. They had given what they'd brought to him. But was that the end of the matter? Did their life now know no problems or any challenges? Was it some sort of, talisman? Some sort of, we've done our bit, therefore we expect something back? Well, if they were to think that, they would be very disappointed very quickly, because straight away they get the problem with Herod and what's going on there. It's not like that, is it? We don't give to receive. We give because we love the Lord. We give in response to his love to us. God is no slot machine. God is no pressing buttons and getting something out. The Lord directed the wise men, even in these difficult times. And what a comfort that is to realize that God is going before us in 2020. I can mention Iraq, Iran, America. We can just picture these scenes. And without the Lord, well, we would be panicking, wouldn't we? Many are panicking without the Lord. But you and I, going God's way, know that he will lead us. As a shepherd, he guides us. As the wise men encountered this change of plan, again, it must have thrown up great difficulty for them. You know, they'd mapped their way from where they'd come from and presumably had a good idea of how it was going to be on the way back. And now suddenly it was all changed. Going back, going home by another route. Again, note how God's plans take over man's plans. It's all the way through the Christmas story. Joseph thought he knew best. He was going to divorce Mary quietly. But that wasn't God's way. And so he takes Mary to himself. Different stages along the way. They had to move, as we've just read at the end of that passage, to Egypt. And if you read on, they have to move to Nazareth. And you think, oh, one thing after another, life's so tough. They're a refugee family. And for the wise men, there were now new obstacles, fears, a different program, a different scenery, a different horizon to that which they perhaps expected. And we have to confess, folks, don't we? We don't like to change our plans. None of us. But if we're trusting, as we said from the outset, if we're depending on the Lord, he will get us from A to B or A to Z, whichever way he chooses. He He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. When it comes to changing plans, some changes are forced upon us. And that's what happened to the wise men. You know, their simple plan was to go back to Jerusalem, or, you know, but they were warned off that to go a different way. What a contrast to the shepherds, who made the choice themselves. Let's go to Bethlehem, was their response. They changed their plans by choice. But the wise men, through circumstance, had to change theirs. And when you think of any year, this year will not be any different. There will be times when you can make choices, and the choices are completely up to you. And then there will be other times when it's completely beyond your circumstance, beyond your control, should I say. The circumstances for the wise men, Herod's fury, and of course then Joseph with his dream has the same problem because of Herod's fury. But in it all, the Lord overruled in the plans that were committed to him. Don't know if you started reading through the Bible this year. I would encourage you to do that. You know, it's still early. It's only the 5th of January, so if you've forgotten, you can catch up very quickly. But I was reading the passage about Noah the other day, doing that, and just reading of the flood. And the turmoil there must have been. You know, we make it into some sort of children's sort of story. But how? The waters were rising up from the ground. The waters were coming down in a torrential way. It was, you know, it was a devastating scene of destruction. And then I read how the Lord shut the door on the ark for Noah. Turmoil and tenderness. In a verse, it went from, and all this was going on, and the Lord shut him in. Salvation secured by God's hand. And I thought, whoa, that's it. It still is, isn't it? Turmoil all around. But if you're in the ark, if you're in Christ, salvation is there. The door closed behind. We're secure in him for what is ahead. An encounter, an experience, an encouragement on the journey. As a minister, Stan will identify with this, and David too, sometimes there's an awkwardness when people wish you a happy Christmas. Because sometimes they want to say Merry Christmas, or they feel they should, but then they look and they say, oh, well, as a minister, I don't know if Merry Christmas, you know, is appropriate. So you often get like a switch halfway through to a happy Christmas. And when it comes to a new year, well, often people speak, don't they, of a peaceful and a prosperous new year. In other words, I hope it all goes well. I think that's basically what's being said. And this evening, I just want to remind you, following the light that the Lord gives, finding the one that we seek and worshipping Christ and faithfully walking as the Lord leads, going his way, it will be well. In walking this way, you will know his peace. Whatever is going on around the Herods of this world, you will know his peace. And indeed, he will prosper the work, prosper us, advanced the kingdom to the glory and praise of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So it is Epiphany. It is all about the wise men. It is putting everything away now. It's all over. No more carols, I promise you. Nothing else. But don't put away the truths of how, having worshipped him, they went home another way. Their lives were changed. Their lives were transformed. Not made easier, in some ways it was made much more difficult, but it was a wonder of God's amazing provision and providence to bless them on their way. We thank you, Lord, for how you have led us up to this point, and our confidence is in your continuing faithfulness and goodness to us to lead us on into 2020. We thank you for the blessings of this day and starting the day together. We do present ourselves afresh to you, Lord, for all that you would have for us to do. But thank you again that we can and have sought to worship you this evening. We give you ourselves, the poverty of who we are, the weakness of who we are, but our faith in you, Lord, may it be strong and getting stronger. And our dependence upon you, Lord, may it be, Lord, seen by those around that they might give you glory and indeed put their faith and trust in you as well. Lord, for our needy world and its problems, you are the answer. Grant us your peace in our hearts even now and continue with us in the days to come, keeping that peace and indeed making us, Lord, ambassadors of yours, living a different way, another way, on another path. Lord, please, we pray, may others come with us. May others come to faith. And Lord, may they join in giving of themselves and walking in your ways to your glory and praise. Hear our prayers and our cries to you, Lord. Seal your word in our hearts. Make us wise and wise men and women, walking in the light of what we have seen and what we know. To your glory and praise. Amen.